hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities in London. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. I accompany Graham Stevens, an environmental scientist and avant-garde artist, on a walk along the newly created Robert Hooke Trail as part of the Freshwater Dialogues at Dimbola on the Isle of Wight. Graham has used pneumatics to create inflated structures that have helped scientists to a better understanding of global warming, got us all bouncing about, and helped James Bond walk on water. Charlie Davidson, a local walk leader, provides us with details of the local heritage. The interview begins with Graham explaining his fascination with 17th century scientist Robert Hooke.
So Graham, what's your fascination with Robert Hooke?
He discovered or took part in or created the first pneumatic revolution by discovering that air was a substance, a material, that had different constituents, wasn't just a single material. He was the one that discovered the properties of air through using balloons. So when I started my career with a pneumatic device, a balloon, 3 or 4 years later, and made the connection with Hooke and went back to his original work on air. When I was invited to do an exhibition on the Isle of Wight of my early photographs, I discovered by chance that it was the birthplace of Robert Hooke in Freshwater. And since I was taking part in the 350th anniversary of the founding of the Royal Society in their Local Heroes programme, I thought this would be a gift for a theme to do my two exhibitions.
Just over here on that down, you can see a straight path with a bend in it. And to the left of it, there's a ziggly path that goes right up and over and disappears. Now, in a minute, we're going to join a metal road, and that was the start of the main highway from here to...
So this is the example of why I'm interested in having the combination of an exhibition and a walk, is to relate the activity of, more passive activity of looking at photographs and taking the information from photographs, and the active participation of walking a route and interacting with all the information you get on the walk, on the route, but also the physiology of walking. To stimulate the brain, supplying oxygen, which is one of the discoveries of Hooke. He didn't actually name it as oxygen, but he was the one who identified a substance in air that supported combustion. And he recognized that that same substance was also present in saltpeter, but he was the one who identified it by experiment. And so he was the first experimental scientist. As we know it today, he wasn't called a scientist then. But the artworks that I do, I developed an experimental method of playing with structures and developing various structures using air in order to express the properties of air.
Charlie, does the Robert Hooke route, does it actually follow a path or a route that Hooke himself took, or does it link places where he lived?
The only connections in West Wight to Hooke that are actually known are the church where his father was curate, which is All Saints, and location of the house where he was born. And the only references on the island to Robert Hooke are Hooke Hill in Freshwater, which is named after him, and a stone monument outside the local co-op.
Well, of course, I mean, he's of interest to me because he was probably one of the original town planners for the rebuilding of London after the Great Fire of London.
Apart from being the first experimental scientist, he was the first paid experimental scientist. Because Boyle took him on as an employee, and although he didn't actually get a salary, but he was kept in food and lodgings while he was working for Boyle. And as you say, when they... after the Great Fire, the city appointed Christopher Wren surveyor. He was far too busy and declined the offer, and they then appointed Robert Hooke.
Hooke and Wren were great friends. They worked together half their careers. Wren made a lot of scientific advances as well. Hooke was the experimental scientist who often did the experimental work to prove Wren's work.
But what's drawn you, Graham, to the Isle of Wight?
I came here for the first time to do the 1969 Pop Festival, Isle of Wight Pop Festival.
To do it? Now, tell us, what does that mean, to do it?
When an environmental artist says to do it, he means to do an event, which I had a 30-foot inflatable structure, which I rolled over the heads of the 100,000 audience. As you looked from the stage, for example, as it rolled around, it appeared as if it had a magnetic force which pulled up all the hands, which actually were the audience, the pop fans, just pushing it over their heads as it rolled past. That was the original visit to the Isle of Wight.
Since that time, you returned.
It was the invitation of Dimbola that drew me back for the exhibition on the 40th anniversary.
It's the 40th anniversary.
It's now the 41st anniversary, but it celebrates the festival after me with Jimi Hendrix. I saw Bob Dylan. But that's the connection, the pop festival. And I worked a lot with pop in the pop field and with pop musicians, rock musicians, T-Rex and Ringo Starr, doing effects that they would use in various videos and so on.
Were you the originator of this business where bands throw themselves off into the crowd and get sort of crowd surfed?
It's difficult to know who was that. I am the originator of when they walk in a balloon across the crowd, because the idea of walking was just to walk on any surface. Walking, of course, is the elementary physical method of transport. And so the environmental connection with walking is the most direct. And it started with going from the initial toy balloon experiments to extending it into a work which involved not just the hand, but the whole body. And the first walking on water was a bag of water, a tube of water. And this became first the water floor, and then it became the waterbed. Toy balloon filled with air became the inflatable mattress, became the bouncy castle. And the bag filled with material, salt or sand, became the bean bag. So it's three toy balloons filled with a solid, a liquid and a gas that became the bouncy castle, the waterbed and the bean bag. They were my first three inventions when I was at university.
Because I came across this extraordinary video which the Scottish Arts Council has retained on the internet with you.
Yes.
and someone else, a nameless.
Yes.
Woman.
No, my girlfriend.
Your girlfriend at the time.
Myrdal Jordine.
Was she aware at the time that she was going to be part of an experiment that was to
absolutely
be videoed and
absolutely
perhaps viewed 30 to 40 years later?
That was a big surprise to me. And it is historically the only piece of film I know of that is two people walking on water together. And it was fantastic to receive that, I have to say. Where we did a pond tube, it was called, for walking on water. It's a long inflated tube, about 8 foot in diameter, which you could walk along. And as you walked along, the diameter of the tube decreased. As the diameter decreases, the pressure remains constant, but the tension decreases. So as you walk along the tube, so you sink further and further into the water. And that was the experience at Edinburgh. And we did the individual one with my girlfriend, which was called the Transmobile. And there were six ways of walking on water: Transmobile, the pond tube, and then a single sheet across the water, which you walk on the surface. Water boots, which just have inflatable boots with skis. And the trick there is to attach the feet, to join the feet. And then hover tube, and a wave tube is for walking on sea. So each development was to get more into the environment. So you start with a balloon just involving the hand, the participation of the hand. Next is to involve walking. And next is to involve walking on different surfaces of the environment and to have a completely unique experience of the environment. I mean, unless you've walked on water, you simply no way of describing it. It's a different sensation.
This is Lychgate. I don't know if you know what Lychgate's were. It was unlucky to have a corpse in the church overnight. Timbers saw action at Trafalgar over Nelson on HMS Thunder, with a little plaque
In terms of the freshwater dialogues, this is the idea is to get random interaction with information and invention. So the number of people on a walk, you can never determine what the individual skills are. So there's a big, big difference, the opposite end of the spectrum from any kind of lecture or teaching. It's just how information is exchanged in an environmental context rather than a formal lecture hall. The walk this morning is all number of random pieces of information that have surfaced. And that's the enjoyment of the whole exercise.
But when it comes to where does your art and your invention, that really comes together, and has the creativity for that been generated by walking, do you think?
There is the link. This is the physiological stimulation link with stimulating the whole body. It puts the body in a different condition. And it does stimulate the brain, because you pump oxygen to the brain, so the brain is more active in that sense, which is the origin, has to be the origin of philosopher's walks, why they would take a walk. Many people just take a walk to think a particular problem out or whatever. I mean, my claim to be an avant-garde artist as opposed to otherwise is that you are making avant-garde, you're advancing art, so whatever you do has to be original. I mean, it's like a patent or anything that is new, it's unrecognizable. It's a fundamental relationship with originality and newness and non-understanding, which often turns into misunderstanding, which leads to misrepresentation or whatever. But
and slanderous remarks from me saying that you're a mad eccentric.
this is the central idea with contrasting the existing and the novel. So if you're interested in the innovation and breaking new ground, being avant-garde, so for want of a better word, then it's better to accept that. That's the goes with the territory, so to speak. But I started with formal education in systematic design method, which is basically how you have ideas. And there are systematic ways of stimulating ideas and ensuring that you have ideas. It links in with that, and but it's always under the experimental method. You have to try it and see. So this is the first walk we've done this morning, and afterwards it'll be assessing whether it's worked or not. And so far, it's worked very well. It's worked as predicted. You know, lots of ideas have come up, new information, new interpretations of existing known knowledge and so on.
And have you suddenly had a creative spark?
No, the trick with invention and new ideas is you never say, I must have a new idea. All you do is let your brain do the work. The brain will tell you when it's had a new idea. You don't have to tell the brain to have a new idea. It resists having a new idea. It's told to have a new idea. Puts it under stress.
Do you make it part of your day to go for a walk? Do you have a set time to go for a walk?
No, I'm not like Kant. I left my car in Paris, in France, and I just walk everywhere.
You say you left it in Paris. That sounds, well, what was that, 30 years ago? Or just
a couple
last
years
week?
Ago.
You abandoned it, and
I
since
abandoned
then... Because we've been talking briefly about desalination. Is that right? Is how you pronounce it?
Desalination.
And we've actually been in a place called Freshwater. But I'm not... We're going towards Freshwater.
That was the gift of the location. It was called Freshwater. So not only Hooke, the founder of pneumatic science, air science, but the name itself, which on this walk this morning, Charlie pointed out the original spring, which fresh water comes from, to give fresh water its name. So seeing the source has a sort of philosophical strength to it. You know, the symbolism of doing these walks. The more you know, the more you get out of it, the more you can put into it, the more you can exchange. Yeah, I was lucky enough to have a very good education in architecture with a meteorologist who taught me about climate and a theoretician who taught me about systematic design. So it's just been a systematic progress from one idea to the next. The film I made in the desert in 1974, I think, is the first film on global warming. It's about the solutions to global warming by using fundamental atmospheric principles to create water, food, fuel, and raw materials. Everything you can get from fossil fuel, you can get from the atmosphere by the original living processes of algae or plants, and using the optical properties of membranes. The combination of the art and the science, again, which Hooke was also an artist and a scientist, with those fantastic graphics he did drawing fleas under the microscope, was again another link. Leads you to think that this is the natural, is more natural way of thinking and creating, is not to separate things into very small boxes, but to think generally, but design specifically, invent specifically for particular problems.
The myriad of artists and scientists out there, are there any that you particularly admire?
Yeah, I always learnt from my peers or my betters, basically. So it's always been just working with people who have particular sets of information. And when I set up Royal Institution, UK branch of the International Solar Energy Society, then of course we had access to all the leading renewable energy experts in each field. And that's where the film came from, is having one sculpture which could express all the different technologies. So that was the link between art and science, is to get an expressive form which you could discuss all the different sciences.
Everything you can see is an area of outstanding natural beauty. On the other side of that farmstead, there's about a 100-wide strip of land through to the coast, which is not part of the pocket of area of outstanding natural beauty. And the local council have given permission for 7 giant wind turbines. You'll be able to see them in Winchester.
The thing we've been talking about before is that
today they wouldn't be working.
They wouldn't be working today, but also the it's an island, and we're surrounded by tides and waves.
Well, take that as an example. How does that relate to the freshwater dialogue? That is about decision making, and the decision making process is incorporated in the walk by going to the Rocket Museum, which stands as probably the best expression of bad governmental decision-making, because it was the site of the development of the British space program, and the site that was witnessed the overnight cancellation on the point of success when they launched the first telecommunication satellite, cancelled within days by the government. The relation today, of course, is what is the government doing about global warming? The original discovery or scientific definition of global warming was made in 1898. So it's been known since 1898 that if you double the CO2, you get 4 degrees centigrade rise in temperature of the whole planet. And somehow that piece of information has been discarded or repressed or misinterpreted or ignored or not included in the decision-making process. And it's the most staggering piece of information or scientific warning that you could have on the planet. You have to address the decision-making process is about how that has come about over 100 years. The only answer is by obviously the social human interactions that take place. And that has nothing to do with the technical viability of any new technology of solving the problem. It's simply not a technical issue, it's a purely social, political issue. So that's why the walk includes that site for raising that issue, the decision-making process.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities in London. In this episode, you've heard from Graham Stevens. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we would love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the Talking Walking website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stuck of Rethinking Cities Limited, our artwork is designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics, and the music is composed by Simon Sanders of Easytronic.